The Dave Ramsey Show, afternoons at 5.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will bring it to a whisper. For the next hour, sit quietly and we shall control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
It's time for the radio show that covers just about every topic, because variety is the spice of life. From the arcane and unusual to current events and practical tips. Because if it's interesting, they'll be talking about it. And now here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Indeed we are. Good morning, Hill Country.
And happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve. We are Bill and Allison, and we're glad you joined us this morning at 8:09 in the a.m. And we are sometimes wrong,
but we're always right.
Always right. Fighting a never-ending battle for truth, justice,
and the American way.
Exactly. And we have a warning, for a trigger warning, do we not, Allison?
Yes, we do.
And what is that?
We are non-binary.
We are non-binary. I think the there are two words that go to that. We are non-binary, and I should have.
Let me start off with two words: Made in America.
There you go. The two words from our president. We always start our show with a Bible verse, and this is from Ephesians. And I thought it would be good to remember this in the coming year, because current events can be somewhat depressing. And what is behind current events in many cases? This is from Ephesians. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jonathan Edwards wrote about this verse: God has appointed this whole life to be all as a race or a battle, the state of rest, wherein we shall be so out of danger as to have no need of watching and fighting, is for the next world. But we are to battle, and realize that our enemies, in many cases, are satanic. Satan is behind them. And if we recognize that, we know who is going to defeat Satan, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know the battle will be won, but our job is to be soldiers of Christ. There's an old hymn that talks about that. You don't hear it sung much anymore. But soldiers of the cross marching for Jesus Christ. It's been so long since I've heard that, I've forgotten a lot of it too. But that's what we need to do. 8:11 is our Hill Country Patriot time. And again, thank you for being with Bill and Allison this morning.
Mm-hmm. The very last day of the year.
It is. And there's a couple of events. There are not a lot of things going on event-wise in the Hill Country this weekend. But there are a couple of things, aren't there, Allison?
There are. The city of Fredericksburg is going to do its own ball drop ahead of schedule. It's having a family-friendly celebration featuring face painting, a reptile show.
A reptile show. You know, I've always wondered why zoos don't have reptile petting zoos.
I don't know why they're having a reptile show. But also arts and crafts. The event is going to be at Market Plots, and it starts at 3 o'clock. And it ends with a ball drop at 6:30. It sort of tells you what kind of town you live in when the New Year's Eve ball drop is at 6:30.
Oh, yeah. 6:30 in the afternoon, basically?
I'm sorry. I've been to Times Square, New York City for New Year's Eve.
6:30 in Times Square. Nobody's there yet.
I know.
All right. That's
anyway,
what I want to do.
Anyway, that's at Market Plots. Okay. Market Plots. At the Hangar Hotel, they're dialing the clock back to the 1940s for swing dancing by Fredericksburg local Bill Smallwood and the Lone Star Swing Orchestra. In drinks from 7 to 11 p.m. and they're going to have a 1940s inspired costume contest and swing dancing lessons from 7 to 8. And the price of admission is $75. And for those of you who don't know the Hangar Hotel, it's at the airport. And it's really a cool hotel. Very cool hotel. They took an airport hangar and turned it into this 1940s hotel. And they also have a lounge. Is that what you would call it? A bar?
Bar.
Lounge. Yeah. So I'm not sure where the dance is.
It's awfully small. They have a dance in that.
I know. But the hotel is...
I'm not sure where it is, but they're right.
Well, it just says the Hangar Hotel.
Okay.
But anyway, the lounge
figure it out when you get there.
The lounge is very cool. And also,
the airstrip. Maybe it's on the airstrip.
I don't think it'd be outdoors this today.
All right.
And also, weather permitting, helicopters and hot air balloons will take to the air above the Fredericksburg Polo Club from 4 to 8 p.m. Tickets to enter the event range from $10 to $125.
Fredericksburg has a polo club?
I didn't realize
that. Well, I know that the guy who runs the stable lounge, which is right across on a side street from the
HEB,
he's really a big polo fan. I think he's behind all this. I know he.
I suspect.
I know he put together the last couple of years a polo match in Fredericksburg. So I'm sure he must be behind.
I'm one
of the people behind that.
Yeah, I'm guessing. And the address is 8142 Old San Antonio Road, Fredericksburg.
Okay. Also, the July 4th fireworks show that was postponed last summer because of fire dangers and drought is going to take place today, again in Fredericksburg. Fireworks are sponsored by the City of Fredericksburg, and they'll be at Lady Bird Johnson Park at 6:30.
Is it even dark at 6:30?
It's getting there, but yeah, okay. But anyway, that's what we got. That's all the events that we could find in the Hill Country. If you have an event, particularly charitable event or some sort of celebratory event, get in touch with us and let us know at the station that you always remember the. W's. Who is doing it? When it is? What it is? Where it is? And in some cases, why? Like a charitable event, why are you putting it on?
So you're not talking about just for today. You're talking about in the future.
Thank you. For the future. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if you're having something going on today, you would need to text right now.
Okay. You threw me for a loop on that.
Well, you know the number for people to text.
Yeah, okay. It's 830-285-5926.
If you have something going on today.
All right. TikTok, you may know, I hope you know, that your teenagers, or less than teens in many cases, should not have TikTok on their phone. I've got a kind of an update to that story. But if you haven't heard that before, get your kid off of TikTok. It is very hostile. It is a group did some survey, basically experiment, where they pretended to be, 12-year-old kids or something. And within a few seconds after they signed up for TikTok, they got all sorts of horrible information about killing yourself and just awful stuff. TikTok is owned by the Chinese Communist Party, and so get your kids off of that if they're on it. There are 6 billion users of TikTok, mostly teenagers, so get your kids off of TikTok. But beyond that, the U.S. government, the House of Representatives, and now the Senate, and it's in place now, to get all government devices off of TikTok. And states are moving in that direction as well. Texas has ordered TikTok not to be on any state-owned device. A number of other states have done the same. Well, what's where they're finding out even worse about TikTok, or not necessarily worse, but from a political standpoint, TikTok has meddled in U.S. elections. TikTok is basically a Chinese surveillance and psychops operations, thinly veiled as a social media platform. It's one of the big factors why Democrats did so well in the midterm elections. Believe it or not, TikTok is one of the big factors. A recent poll of people who said they voted for Joe Biden, I think it's about 20% or more, said if they had known about the revelations about Biden's son, they would not have voted for him, you know, Hunter Biden. But TikTok is part of the reason they didn't know, because people are depending upon, and social media, and more broadly defined, refuse. They buried that story about Hunter Biden. And Biden would have lost if people knew the truth, according to polls. So, let's see. Scott Adams, who writes Dilbert and is conservative, said, "The group of Americans that control the election outcome are the group of Americans that China controls through TikTok. Allowing TikTok, a Chinese company, to be the primary channel for the most important group of voters in the United States. Do you see a problem there?" Okay, here's a poll. It's not the one I mentioned too, but it's another one. An exit poll. Okay, an exit poll is people who have just voted and they're walking out of the polling places and they're asked by pollsters questions. Okay, an exit poll found that a staggering 68% of unmarried women favored Democrats in the House midterm elections, a demographic that is extremely powerful on TikTok, because nearly 60% of those who use TikTok are female. And it's a national security threat. It should be banned in the United States, not just for government. I mean, they do all they can. They can't. They should ban it. They should absolutely ban it. TikTok is very, very, very toxic. 8:19 is our Hill Country Patriot time.
Okay. Yeah. Here's our word of the day. Espouse. E-S-P-O-U-S-E. It means to take up and support a cause. The new theory has been espoused by many leading physicians. And it also means to marry someone. And it's very similar to the, there's a very similar word in Spanish, and this is my favorite Spanish word, which is esposa. And in Spanish, an esposa is a wife. However, if it's plural, esposas, it means handcuffs. So that's my favorite Spanish
that
word.
That tells you a lot, doesn't it? Wow. Well, I know in Spanish, it's, how do I phrase this? If there's a group of 1,000 women, and you refer to that group in the feminine.
Yeah, because Spanish and also French, and I'm not familiar with other languages, but their difference from English is that their words, their nouns, they're feminine or masculine.
Yeah.
For example, in Spanish, if a word ends with an A, it's feminine, and if it ends with an O, it's masculine. And I, as a matter of fact, I was talking to not too long ago. I was talking to a girl. She's now a married woman with a child. But we first met her when she was about 18, and I was in front of her, and I was talking to somebody else who knew her, and we've known Alicia since she was a bambino, and she corrected me. She said, no, bambina.
Male.
Yeah, well, I said bambino.
You said bambino. So yeah,
I said bambino, okay. Which is a boy. Which, you know, you normally think of the word bambino, but she corrected me. She was a bambina. Okay.
Well, if there's a crowd of 1,000 women, it's you refer to that crowd as in the feminine tense or whatever the word, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Bambinas.
But if there's a crowd of 1,000 women and one man in Spanish, the crowd is referred to in the masculine tense, which rather interesting. I'll just leave it at that. That's rather interesting. 8:23 Hill Country Patriot time with Bill and Allison. We had the opportunity to fill in for Harley this past week, Monday through Friday, and it was a whole lot of fun. Allison and I had a blast. I hope you were able to.
It was.
I hope you were able to join us.
I mean, and filling in for Harley, we learned what a big job he has.
Oh my gosh!
Three hours a day for five days.
Getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and he really pours his heart and soul into his programming, and we got just a little taste of new appreciation for Harley. Let's put it that way.
I mean, he gets here long before the sun comes up.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, we watch the sunrise every day.
We did.
There's a fellow named Andrew Tate, okay? And he got into a little dust-up with Greta Thunberg. You know Greta Thunberg, the Swedish... How do I describe Greta Thunberg?
I think it's pronounced Thunberg.
Thunberg? Okay. Thunberg.
It looks like Thun, but I think it's pronounced
okay,
Thun.
Thank you. and you know, how would you describe her, Allison?
Oh, not in words that I could use on the radio.
She's a child who has been completely brainwashed by this climate stuff, and she makes all sorts of pronouncements. She has quit school to save the planet. You know, she basically is making all sorts of these pronouncements to basically try to cool off the sun.
Well, she's a little snot, and I'd like to smack her in the face. But
don't say things like that. What's wrong with you? Anyway, Andrew Tate got into this dust-up on Twitter with Greta. And, he explains it here in his own words.
I'm obviously a stranger to online controversy. It's not something I often do. But now, the mainstream press is commenting on the fact that I was informing Greta that my very extensive car collection with internal combustion engines, which run on dead dinosaurs, have an enormous emission profile. And she replied by telling me her own email address. Greta's email address is, I have small dick energy. Why would that be your own email address, Greta? Strange. I mean, also, I don't want to assume her gender. It's 50-50, but it is what it is. So I'm not actually mad at Greta, right? Because she doesn't realize she's been programmed. She doesn't realize she's a slave of the Matrix. She thinks she's doing good. Someone has sat her down and convinced her to try and convince you to beg your government to tax you into poverty to stop the sun from being hot. Welcome to a new episode of The Clown Show. But now I know, at least, that Greta, with a little hate-filled face, bitter, sitting somewhere without the heating on, in the cold, a little hat, shivering, views my tweets, which is going to make my Twitter account far more fun into eternity.
Okay, that was Andrew Tate. I'd never heard of him, but he apparently is what they call an influencer on the internet. And last night, just a few days after he poked fun at Greta Thunberg on Twitter that he talked about, he was arrested at his home in Romania.
No kidding.
Accused of human trafficking.
What? Yeah. Because he dared to disagree with Greta Thunberg?
With Greta.
Wow.
Now, maybe he's guilty. I don't know. But the timing is awfully strange.
Yeah, I mean, we're...
You know, maybe the globalists just want us to believe they're good at combating human trafficking. But I doubt it. Now, why do I doubt that they want to look good at combating human trafficking? Well, one reason is the Jeffrey Epstein case.
Mm-hmm.
How good are they at that? Back in November, this past November, a judge ordered the Epstein documents to be unsealed. Where are the documents to be unsealed now? Nobody's seen them. And to make the story even weirder than it is, I'm talking about the arrest of Andrew Tate, who made fun of Twitter, made fun of Greta. To make the story even weirder than it is, last year a group urged Romania, which is where Andrew Tate was living and was arrested last night, urged Romania to ensure that human trafficking offenses be vigorously prosecuted. The name of this group, this is weird, the name of this group is the Council of Europe's Group of Experts on Action Against Trafficking in Human Beings. However, it is known by the acronym, get ready for this, GRETA.
No kidding.
You can't make this stuff up. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Wow.
So why don't they go after the Epstein client list? Because if it was disclosed who the child molesters are, who would run the country?
The Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison on this New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it is New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve.
We're working. What I learned is that this week, I mean, we have a business other than just doing this, the radio show. And what I've learned is that the week between Christmas and New Year's, boy, is it hard to get any work done because so many people are on vacation. So many offices are closed.
Offices are closed, yeah.
It was very frustrating.
Absolutely. 8:32 is our Hill Country Patriot time. What you got, Allison?
Well, you know, I was talking about the Spanish word esposa, and its funny meanings, and I want to point out, and we, you know, grew up speaking English, but I really admire people who have English as a second language, or, you know, in some cases, third or fourth or fifth. As a matter of fact, we have a Ukrainian person that we work with, and he sent me an email, and he apologized for not, I corrected something that he had written, and he apologized because he said English is only his fourth language.
Really?
Yeah.
That's Oleg?
Oleg, yeah. Wow. I forget what it was, but I mean, something minor, but I speak English. I know a few words of Spanish and a few words of French, but that's it. I couldn't carry on a conversation in either. So, but the reason it's so impressive, people who learn English, and it's so hard because, okay, the word box, the plural is boxes, but ox is oxen, not oxes. And one fowl is a goose, and two are called geese. But the plural of mouse is not meath.
That's true. And it would be very difficult, I think, to learn learn English.
Yeah, you might find a lone mouse or a house full of mice. And the plural of house is houses, not heise. The plural of man is men, but the plural of pan is never pen.
Yeah, that would be tough. I know, for example, the word cleave, C-L-E-A-V-E in English, mm-hmm. has two completely opposite meanings. Mm-hmm. One is to cleave like a meat cleaver, to separate, but the other, to cleave like a man and wife, is to bring together.
Mm-hmm.
So how confusing. How do you explain that to someone who doesn't know English?
And okay, and if you talk about a foot, and you have two, that you have 2 feet, but you have a book, it's not a pair of beak.
You have books, but you don't have feet.
Uh-huh. And if you have one tooth, and your whole set are teeth, but you have a booth, and it's not called a beeth, a plural.
Okay, and why do we park on driveways and drive on parkways?
And the singular this, and the plural is these, but the plural of kiss is not keys.
Yeah, wouldn't it be tough to learn English?
Uh-huh. And okay, and we talk about a brother, and also brethren, But when we say mother, we never say mothering.
Well, speaking.
Okay. Here's another one. A bass, B-A-S-S, is a fish. There's also a musical instrument, B-A-S-S, and that's pronounced bass.
Thought of that before. Wow. 8:36 is our Hill Country Patriot time. You're with Bill and Alice, and then we glad you are. We're on from 8 to 10 on Saturday mornings.
Every Saturday morning.
When we're not filling in for Harley, which we did last week, and we really enjoyed it. But we're on from 8 to 10 Saturday mornings, and you can find us also, where else?
First Couple of TexasRadio.com.
Exactly. That's where we have our past shows recorded. You can listen to them there, and you can even download them to your favorite device. First Couple of TexasRadio.com. I don't know what you'd call this, a commission, or it's not official yet, advising Marines not to call their instructors sir or ma'am because you might be misgendering them.
Isn't that disgusting?
See, this is what they worry about, misgendering people instead of
winning wars.
Learning how to win wars.
So it might be why we aren't winning wars.
Well, yeah. Gendered identifiers, they say, prime recruits to think about or visually search for a drill instructor's gender first. And this is now being considered by a Marine Corps leadership team. This is according to Colonel Howard Hall, Chief of Staff for Marine Corps Training and Education Command. He's considering it. He said, let's see. Well, the study or this report or whatever it is, instead of saying sir and ma'am, say drill instructor.
Jeez.
That's like, don't call Harley, call him talk show host, radio guy. You know, I mean, just don't use his name. That's insane.
No, you could use his name, but you couldn't refer to him as he or him.
He or him or sir.
Or sir.
Sir, yeah.
Yeah, that's
thank you. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But they say this recommendation, quote, employing gender-neutral identifiers eliminates the possibility of misgendering drill instructors, which can offend or cause discord. Jeez. I mean, if a Marine DI is offended because you call him sir...
He shouldn't be in the Marines.
He shouldn't be in the Marines. If he's sensitive...
He's that wimpy, you know.
Wimpy and sensitive and you know, clutching his pearls, he should not be in the Marine Corps.
Exactly.
This is just gone way, way too far. Way, way too far. We've got a cut of an audio, which I thought was very, very good. And somebody sent it to me. And they said, this guy is great. Wish we had more of him in Congress. And I listened to it, and it turned out to be our... And I told him, I responded, and I said, he didn't know. And I responded, I said, that's our congressman. So I've got. He recently, just the other day, gave a talk during a session of the House of Representatives, and I thought it was so good that I wanted y'all to hear it.
And I can't help but be amused that the gentleman from Massachusetts says that we refuse to come to the table, as if the gentlelady who will soon be the chairwoman of Appropriations, Ms. Granger, my colleague from Texas, doesn't want to sit at the table with colleagues on either side of the aisle to come to consensus about how to spend taxpayer dollars, or better stated, how to borrow money we don't have, as if that's actually true. What table is the gentleman referring to? What table does he want us to come sit down and negotiate? It's not this table. I don't have the power to offer an amendment on the floor of the House of Representatives, despite being elected by 750,000 Texans. I don't have the ability or the right to be able to stand up for them and have a debate on the floor of this chamber. Everything the American people is watching right now is a complete sham. It's a fraud. A fraud being perpetrated on the American people right before their eyes, right as we head into Christmas, sitting here on the 23rd of December, when 241, 6 years ago, those boys crossed the Delaware. We were dealing with Valley Forge or the boys in 1944 sitting in foxholes in Bastogne over Christmas. And we had 18 Republicans who joined with Democrats in the Senate get on their fancy planes and go home. And we're sitting here trying to do the work of the people, not spend money we don't have, not drive up more inflation, not have 7,500 earmarks for $16 billion for pet leftist projects across this country. What you see here on the floor of the House of Representatives should make everybody ashamed. The People's House. Not one amendment has been offered on the floor of this body since May of 2016 in open debate. The gentleman from Massachusetts dares to impugn the character of the Appropriations Chairwoman Kay Granger and those Republicans he says won't sit at the table, when in fact, what you see here is a 4,100-page bill cooked up by a handful of people behind closed doors, brought before the Rules Committee with no ability to offer an amendment, no ability to debate, no actual discussion on the People's House floor. And my colleagues on the other side of the aisle know it. And we're spending money we don't have. Go home and sell your projects. Go home and talk about all the pork you're bringing home. But you're destroying the United States of America. Absolutely destroying this body. The American people did not send us here to do that. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle know that. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle know full well that this body is broken, but do not care. $45 billion to Ukraine. Have we had a full debate on Ukraine? Or did we take $45 billion of funding for Ukraine, package it on a $1.7 trillion bill, invite the president of Ukraine to address this body for theatrics heading out for Christmas in order to jam through a big spending Democrat priority bill that the American people resoundingly rejected in November? For 70 years, this body, when we've had a transfer of power in the Senate, we have not done this in a lame duck. Yet that's what my Democrat colleagues are doing. There are consequences to this. You can't go out and talk about inflation and talk about what the American people are feeling right now when they're trying to fill up their tanks with gas, they're trying to have presents for their families, they're trying to pay their bills, and then come here and dump hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy while the Fed's raising interest rates and people can't afford to buy homes and they can't live, and say you're doing the people's work. My colleagues on the other side of the aisle, night before last, were apoplectic that Mike Lee was daring to challenge the idea that we should have a bill that literally prohibits Border Patrol from securing the border. He wanted to try to fix that, try to extend Title 42. My Democrat colleagues rejected it, and I sat here on the floor, and they were more concerned about catching their flights for Christmas, coming to me and saying, we can't be here over Christmas. Well, why the hell not? The American people deserve us to be here over Christmas, actually fighting for them, instead of trying to catch planes while half this body are going to vote by proxy. Half this body's not even going to be here, and they're lying. They're lying on forms saying that they're voting by proxy for COVID, and it's a lie. And half this body's going to do it, you know it, and it's destroying this country. I'm not going to just sit here and roll over on this. This is going to continue. The American people are going to know precisely what's happening to them by the People's House.
Gentlemen.
I yield back.
That's Congressman Chip Roy, the congressman locally here in the Hill Country, on the floor of the House of Representatives, really giving it to him. And Allison, I thought that was worth the time for you to hear. 8:45 is our Hill Country Patriot time.
Yeah,
with Bill and Allison.
And as Bill said before he started that clip, a friend sent him that clip, and Bill wrote back to him and said, "That's my congressman."
Yeah, exactly. But he, so Chip is making a national reputation for himself.
Oh, he is.
When we come back, speaking on that subject of what Chip was talking about, there's a new poll that shows what Democrats really think of the U.S. Constitution. We'll be back telling you about that after this short break.
This is Seth bringing you another hilarious installation of Comedy Clips, starring Brian Regan.
A guy would feel comfortable asking another guy to go fishing.
But a guy would never feel comfortable asking another guy to do the same exact thing, but leave out the fishing part. Hey, Charlie, I was thinking this weekend I could swing by real early, pick you up, take you out to this lake I know about. It's beautiful out there. Could watch the sun come up. The way that glistens off the lake in the early morn. Something I wouldn't want you to miss. And I figured we could just spend the day sitting real close together on a boat. You up to doing something like that with me? Can we try to kill something? Feels less weird if we're trying to kill something. Same thing with hunting. Imagine describing hunting, but just leaving out the hunting part of the explanation. Hey, Toby, good news. I found a tree fort out in the woods. I figured you and I could cozy up in that all night. Maybe wear some matching outfits, whisper softly to each other. And if the situation's right, maybe we could put some makeup on each other's face.
Stay tuned for your next comedy clip on the Hill Country Patriot.
The Dave Ramsey Show, afternoons at 5. The Hill Country Patriot.
You are back with Bill and Allison on a beautiful Saturday morning in the Hill Country, and we're glad you are. 8:49, our Hill Country Patriot time. You heard Congressman Chip Roy blast eviscerating the Democrats for blatantly doing... He pointed out there hasn't been an amendment debated on the House floor since 2016. The Democrats have not allowed it. They passed a 4,100-page multi-trillion-dollar bill the other day.
The omnibus?
The omnibus bill.
And by the way, our Senator John Cornyn voted for it.
He is worthless.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he's
a Republican. I'm sorry, he's a rhino.
I don't think he's going to run again because he's now, I believe he's decided not to run again. He's now...
Now voting the way he really wants to.
Voting the way he really wanted to all along.
As opposed to the way his constituents want him to vote.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's voted for less border security. He's voted for gun control. In fact, he sponsored a bill for gun control, red flag laws he believes in. So I'm really thinking he's not going to run again. So I can, figuring he can just vote the way he wants to now, hoping for a judgeship. I think he's hoping for a judgeship. Maybe the Supreme Court. So
he's cozying up to
The Democrats and to the globalists.
Lazy Joe. Mm-hmm.
Well, on that subject of Democrats, I told you that Alice and I were going to tell you about a new poll that shows what Democrats really think of the U.S. Constitution. It's a Rasmussen survey, and Rasmussen is a very well-known
pollster.
Thank you. Most Democrats believe the U.S. Constitution is fundamentally racist and sexist. Most Democrats in this poll, 57% believe the Constitution is rooted in racism, as opposed to 84% of Republicans who disagree with that, and 60% of independents disagree with that statement. So Democrats are really, many of them, and well, in this case, 57%, are convinced that the Constitution is racist, and 49% of Democrats believe the Constitution should be, quote, mostly or completely rewritten.
Wow.
They want to tear up the Constitution. Okay. Well, which of the Bill of Rights don't you like, Democrats? Do you like the one, First Amendment, which is freedom of religion, speech, and the press? Of course, you don't like the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. You want, how about the Fourth Amendment? You want to tear that up too, the protection from unreasonable searches and seizures? The Fifth Amendment, protection of rights to life, liberty, and property?
And what Bill is reading from is the Bill of Rights, which is hanging on the wall here in the bunker.
Yeah, we have it on the wall. So you, what Democrats, you want to tear up the Constitution? How about you want to tear up Amendment 6, the rights of accused persons in criminal cases? Or Amendment 7, your rights in civil cases? Or how about Amendment 8, tear that one up, excessive, prohibiting excessive bail, fines, and punishments? You know, are these the things that you want to tear up when you say that the Constitution should be mostly or completely rewritten? You're ignorant. That is out. That is a statement out of complete ignorance. You're throwing your rights away and giving them to an oppressive, tyrannical federal government when you do that.
Exactly. Exactly.
The Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, without those, the government.
We'd be North Korea.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Without those, we'd be a communist country, and which is, you know, most. But then again, an awful lot of leftists are, you know, they're socialists, which is communism light. Basically, is there's, you know, socialism. Even Karl Marx said socialism is just the next, the communism is the next step of socialism. So it's the educational system that is the problem. The educational system that is the problem. We've allowed these radicals to take over the public government educational system. Years ago, Saul Alinsky in his Rules for Radicals. And even before him, you can go back to Gramsci and Marx and all that. They said the way to do the long march through the institutions, they said it's not going to happen probably in your lifetime or maybe in the next generation's lifetime, but if we do these things now, at some point communism will be victorious. And what is that? Take over the educational systems, take over the news media, take over the churches. Well, they've largely taken over the churches, and we know they've taken over the corporate news media, and they've pretty much taken over the educational systems. A Gallup poll recently said only 28% of Americans have a, quote, great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the public education system. Only 28% of Americans believe that the public education system is doing a good job. That's incredibly low.
Right.
If you took that poll 20 years ago, it'd be a lot higher.
Right.
But people, one of the good things about COVID is that people have discovered what crap their kids are learning. Mm-hmm. They're not being given an education. They're being propagandized mm-hmm. and groomed. And people found this out. That's why it's only 28%. Those 28% have their heads up there, you know what. Along with critical race theory being exposed, gender ideology, plus the masking of children and which has contributed to learning loss, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts among America's school children. But we've found this out. So very few students are actually served by the industrial educational machines we call public schools. And more and more people are starting to realize that. Here's an example. In Leander, Texas, there's a micro school called Oak Ridge. Now, it just has 16 students. But it, unlike a standard stifling classroom with state-mandated curricula and scheduling, Oak Ridge gives its students freedom to explore the school's 5 acres between hands-on projects and traditional lessons. It's a unique style of education. It's a much better fit for, you know, active 10-year-old boys than being chained to a desk. But more and more parents are choosing unique over staid and you know, getting their kids indoctrinated. And there are alternative options like Oak Ridge, Learning Pods, classical schools like the one in Fredericksburg, Heritage School, online learning, homeschool communities, and more are popping up everywhere. It's giving families options they've never had before. So this is a good time now, the first of the year, to think about not just when classes start and start up again and all that after Christmas or what supplies you need to buy. Think about what kind of school your child should go to in the first place. You know, the chances are there are new options just waiting to be discovered or created. I mean, you can create. There's a book out there called... something like how to make $1 million running a private school. Samuel is his first name.
I didn't realize that was a money-making.
It is a money-making thing. Of course, you're not doing it for the money, but that, he thought that would be a good title. How to, something like that. How to get rich running a private school. You can look it up. That's close enough. One innovative option for alternative education is allschool.com. Allschool.com. That's a platform where teachers have posted engaging classes on just about every subject under the sun, from multiplication and history to creative writing, coding, you know, computer coding. So if your current schooling situation lacks options, even if you're homeschooling, this is a great way to supplement and add more variety. And push back against things like gender ideology and critical race theory at your child's school. Take a look at this website, courageisahabit.org. Courageisahabit.org. They will send you a free guide to help you quickly see through the left's euphemisms, their fake language, to uncover exactly what your child is being taught and how to correct it. That's courageisahabit.org. So those are some things you can do to fight the leftists who have taken over the government schools in many cases. And I'm not indicting every public school and every public school teacher. There are many great ones. We have friends who are really excellent as teachers locally here in Kerrville and Hill Country. I'm not condemning them particularly. Find out, though, what your school is teaching your kids. Go to the school library and look at the books that are there. Find out, look at the homework that your child is being coming home with. Sit in the classroom. See what the teachers are teaching. Now, there was one teacher somewhere in the Hill Country who was put up a fit because they wanted to put a camera in the classroom. Well, why not? There ought to be cameras in every classroom, and every parent should be able to see what their child is learning. Oh, man. When we come back from our news break, Congresswoman says pedophiles are discriminated against.
Well, as they well should be.
As they well should be, but she says that's terrible. It's a congresswoman. So that's what Bill and Allison will have.
And also coming up, why grapefruit might be bad for you.
KRNH HD2, Kerrville, K271CH, Fredericksburg, K2A2BI, Kerrville, the Hill Country Patriot. The Hill Country Patriot.
Now, the first couple of Texas radio. Here's Bill and Allison Mancaro.
Welcome back. As Bob said, we're Bill and Allison.
Yes, we are. I'm Bill, and you're Allison. We got to keep that straight.
I'm so used to all week long, we've been saying we're Bill and Allison filling in for Harley.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But we're not. This is our own show.
Stopped abruptly. But I'm Bill. I'm Bill.
I'm Allison.
And don't get us mixed up with all this gender fluid stuff. But we are Bill and Allison. We are sometimes wrong,
but we're always right.
Right. We're always right. We're fighting a never-ending battle for truth,
justice, and the American way.
The American way, exactly right. And we have a trigger warning for you, do we not, Allison?
We do. We're non-Bidenary.
Non-Bidenary. Are those two words or one word? Non-Bidenary.
I don't know.
I think it's two words. No, maybe the one
they start off with two words. Made in America.
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Two words. What do we got? It is 9:07.
Well, it's our Hill Country. You're talking about our educational system.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The Grapevine Colleyville Independent School District has voted to ban the teaching of critical race theory in schools.
Good.
Yeah. And they are not going to promote, require, or even encourage the usage of pronouns not aligned with the student's actual sex. They also implemented a strict process for reviewing library books. This is Colleyville, Grapevine and Colleyville.
Grapevine, which is the Christmas capital of Texas.
Oh, it is. It well, is. they gave a Christmas present to people who think properly. They recommended a strict process for reviewing library books. They require that students use the restrooms and locker rooms that align with their actual sex. Library materials must be posted online and readily available for review by parents. And a strict oversight process has been put in place for choosing and approving books. They ban now the ISD, the Kerrville, the Grapevine Colleyville ISD. Wish it was Kerrville. Further bans the teaching of sexual orientation and gender identity, bans boys playing in girls' sports, and bans the New York Times 1619 Project disinformation program. So good for you, Grapevine Colleyville ISD. I hope some all of the ISD people in the Hill Country are listening right now. And if they're probably not, but
no, they're on vacation.
You yeah, but you are listening. I don't mean you, Allison. I mean the listeners of our station. You are listening. Take this information to your independent school district. You can find out what I just told you by doing a Google search for Grapevine Colleyville Independent School District and banning critical race theory. That would be a good search term. And take it to your ISD and say, we want you to do the same thing that they did in Grapevine and Colleyville. Well, good for them, I'll tell you. Good for them. Well, Mr. Rogers had an interesting take on this years ago. Mr. Rogers would be canceled today if he sang this on the air.
Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine.
Yeah. Wasn't that great?
Exactly.
Well, I promised to tell you about grapefruit, how it might be bad for you. And you probably know, or maybe you don't, the state fruit of Texas is the Texas red, which are grown down in the valley. And it's delicious, has many health benefits, but it can interact with some common medications, altering their effects on your body. And grapefruit and a few of its close relatives, such as Seville oranges, tangelos, pomelos, mineolas, contain a chemical, which I can't even pronounce. It's furanocuromins.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't take much, but this chemical interacts with certain medications, and it doesn't take much. One whole grapefruit or one glass of grapefruit juice is enough to alter how certain medications affect you, and the effects can last for several days, for 1 to 3 days.
I don't like this attack on our state fruit.
So taking your medications just a few hours apart from consuming isn't long enough. Several cholesterol medications called statins are affected by grapefruit. Lipitor, Mevacor, Zocar. Now, the alternatives that are not affected by grapefruit are Pravacol, Crestor, Lescol.
These are not affected by grapefruit.
Those are not affected. And there's certain blood pressure medications that are affected. Phlotipine, Procardia, Cozar, Inspira. Now, my question has always been, why do they make these drugs' names so complicated?
I know.
I mean, seriously, can't they make them, you know, more simple? Mm-hmm. Okay, and there are also some heart rhythm medications, amiodarone and Multec. Are both affected. So you shouldn't, if you're on either of those, you should not be eating or drinking grapefruit. And some anti-infection medications. erythromycin, certain HIV drugs, and there are several mood medications which are affected. Seroquel, and these are very common medications that a lot of people are on. Seroquel, Latuda, Geodon, Buspar, Valium, Versed, Halcyon. And you know, Versed is very, very common. If you're going to be having any type of surgery, it's often given before or during your surgery. And there's certain blood thinners that are affected. Xarelto, Plavix, Brilinta.
So these are things you, if you're on any of these, you should not be drinking grapefruit juice or eating grapefruit.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. And an alternative blood thinner, which is not affected by grapefruit, is warfarin, which is also known as Coumadin, is not affected by grapefruit. But I can tell you personally, it's a pain in the neck to take. Mm-hmm. And there are also pain medications so that are affected by grapefruit. Fentanyl, oxycodone, and alternatives that are not affected by grapefruit, morphine and Dilaudid.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it.
Well, that's good information to know. I mean, mm-hmm. if you're on any of these, do not take grapefruit juice, drink grapefruit juice, or eat grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got a news of the weird for you coming up. I promised you this story, and we promised you this story. And it's time for News of the Weird.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. Your next stop, the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's the Twilight Zone, all right. Democrat California Congresswoman Katie Porter says the term pedophile brands people as criminals, and we should not use the term pedophile.
Wow.
They are criminals. What are you talking about?
That's just...
No, it's a...
I just don't know what to say about that one.
That's why it's news of the weird. She says, attraction to minors, not pedophilia. That's bad. Next, they'll come up with, they invented the term homophobia, but you never hear of heterophobia, by the way. It's only homophobia.
Good point.
The left is really good at coming up with words, and then the news media and the educational system picks up on the word, and all of a sudden everybody's using it, and nobody wonders, how come I never heard that word 5 years ago? You know, it's because they propagandize you, and you start saying it, not even thinking about it.
Well, what one word, and this is totally off subject, but it's a brand new word that we're now hearing all the time, is hack.
Hack, like, life hack.
Life hack.
Curate is another. You didn't hear curate 10 years ago. But no, and so the left comes up with these words, homophobia, for example. Islamophobia. You didn't hear that before 2001. There was no such, nobody ever heard that word. Islamophobia. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard the term Christianophobia?
Or Jewophobia?
Well, there's anti-Semitism.
Oh, that's true.
But Christophobia? No such word. Islamophobia? Oh, yeah. Anyway, getting back to this Twilight Zone story. Congresswoman Katie Porter from California says we shouldn't use the term pedophile because pedophilia, which she doesn't use, she says minor attracted persons is what we should use because that's a sexual orientation. She also said the phrase groomer is a lie. She says groomers and pedophiles are used to describe people that are mothers and fathers. It is dangerous, unquote.
Wow.
I'm glad, you know, if your mother or father is a pedophile, I don't think you want to live in a house. She's nuts. I mean, this is a quote from her. These phrases are meant to dehumanize people. Quote, you know this allegation of groomer and pedophile is alleging that a person is a criminal somehow and engaged in criminal acts merely because of their gender identity, their sexual orientation. So apparently now it's a human right for somebody to identify as a pedophile. And if you say that's wrong, you're endangering them. You're a terrorist. That should be a crime. I mean, talk about calling, as the Bible says, there'll be a time when good is called evil and evil is called good. And I think we're living in that time right now. Okay, we've got a cut from Miranda Galbraith, okay, an audio cut. She's a licensed professional counselor. She treats sex offenders in prison. And she has also called for the elimination of calling people pedophiles. She calls them minor attracted persons. She says they are a marginalized population.
As they should be.
Yeah, they should be in prison, of course. The term pedophile is judgmental, hurtful insult that we hurl at people in order to harm them or slander them. Well, what have they done to the kids?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm worried about a pedophile's feelings. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's a false stigma. This is, again, she's quoting. This is a quote from this crazy woman, and there's a picture of her, and I mean, she says she's a woman. Okay, I guess I have to take her word for it. It's 50-50 as far as I'm concerned from this picture. But anyway, she says pedophilia is a false stigma attached to people who want to have sex with children. Excuse me?
Wow.
I'll have that audio in a minute. She says, quote, most of these folks hide their attraction for fear of losing their entire life if they come out as a minor attracted person. They risk losing their family, their friends, their jobs.
Well, what about the minor?
She isn't mentioned. That's a good point. She doesn't talk about the children at all.
Yeah.
She doesn't talk about the children at all. She's concerned with the pedophiles.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. So more of a quote here. They risk losing their family, their friends, their job, or their safety in the community if people knew of them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they should lose their family, their friends, their jobs, and their safety in the community. I think she's a pedophile, quite frankly. Anyway, Allison and I've got an audio of this crazy Miranda Galbraith. So you just don't take my word for it.
Which one is it?
Map 2, all the way to the left on the bottom.
Okay.
All right. So you know that we're not making this stuff up. This is her in her own words.
Folks, my name is Miranda. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and sex therapist in Erie, Pennsylvania. And today I want to talk about minor attracted persons. You may have noticed that I'm using the term minor attracted persons instead of the more commonly used term pedophile. This term simply means that the person has an enduring sexual or romantic attraction to minors. They've not chosen this attraction, just as the rest of us have not chosen whatever our attraction is. And you don't get to choose to be a minor attracted person. Some minor attracted persons are attracted to a specific age range of minors, while some are not. And some minor attracted persons are exclusively attracted to minors and are not attracted to adults at all. Some minor attracted persons are also attracted to adults.
Yeah, that's this crazy woman. The left goes farther and farther and farther and farther
into craziness,
into insanity. But they want to break down society. They want to break down the family. That's the goal. If you read all you have to do is read the Communist Manifesto, which is very short, and you know, you can get a summary of the 10 points of the Communist Manifesto. It's interesting. There's 10 points of the Communist Manifesto and 10 commandments. Interesting. Just thought of that. If you read the 10 points of the Communist Manifesto, a major part of it is, Marx said, you can't institute communism without destroying the traditional nuclear family. And this is all part of the design. It's a culture of death, as Proverbs says, those who hate me love death. And this is destroying the family, abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, transgender crap. It's all designed to destroy the American family. It's all sterility. All those who hate me love death. When we come back, we've got the worst name for a person you've ever heard. We'll be back after Allison and Bill. Be back after this short break.
The Hill Country Patriot.
Welcome. Welcome back. We're Bill and Allison on this New Year's Eve.
Maybe it's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing? Exactly 12 o'clock that night, welcoming in the
That's a good question. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
That's the marvelous, inimitable Ella Fitzgerald.
So what are you doing New Year's Eve?
We have a boring New Year's Eve, don't we? We could go out to the Kanger. Kanger Club? No. She's shaking her head.
I think we'll sit by the fireplace and drink champagne.
Okay.
I've had a full week.
There's only been one time in my life that I fell asleep before midnight, and that was when I was in college. Believe it or not, I fell asleep before midnight. I think that is the only time I have not been up for the turn of the century, turn of the year, whatever.
One year, as I mentioned, I was at Times Square in New York City for New Year's Eve.
Was there anybody else there?
My boyfriend.
Just the two of you in Times Square for New Year's Eve. That is a memorable.
Actually, it was not as crowded as I.
Oh, I figured it would be, you know.
I'm sure it was, but I don't really remember. And we had dinner at Mama Leone's, which is a very famous.
Was this Ron Dockside?
You didn't have to give his name.
I did. Well, I want to make him famous.
Okay. But yeah, we had dinner at Mama Mamaglione's, as I said, is a very famous restaurant in New York City. I don't know if it's still there or not. I used to have a Mamaglione's cookbook. I'm not sure if I still have that. But anyway, so we were in Times Square.
Very cool. Well, promised you the worst name for a person. Okay. There's this guy in, doesn't surprise me this is in England. Most of the weirdest stories we have, we seem to have come from England. This guy, Brown, he was a big boxing fanatic. He loved boxing. He named his daughter, I don't know if I can get through this. He named his daughter after all, at the time, in the mid-70s, after all of the 25 world heavyweight boxing champions.
Oh, you're kidding.
This is her name. Maria Sullivan Corbett Fitzsimmons. This is apparently, actually, this is in order, too, of the championships. Maria Sullivan Corbett Fitzsimmons. Jeffrey, this is her name. Jeffries Hart Burns Johnson Willard Dempsey Tunney Schmeling. Sharkey, Carnera, Bear, Braddock, Lewis, Charles, Walcott, Marciano, Patterson, Johansson, Liston, Clay, Frazier, Foreman, Brown. That's her name, legal name.
Wow. I hope she changed it.
I don't even know how you even memorize your own name. he took her to see her first professional boxing match when she was, he said, I'm going to take her to see her first match when she's 3 or 4 months old, so she can soak up the atmosphere, he said. That would prepare her for a career in promotion or management or something similar in boxing. He said he had hope for a boy. I'm surprised he didn't want her to be a boxer, because at that time, even really? In the 70s, there were women boxers, I think. And we know Muhammad Ali's daughter was a boxer. So that's a contender,
so to speak.
Yeah, a contender for the worst name ever. 9:33 in the morning on a beautiful Christmas Eve with Bill and Allison. We're happy that you decided to spend part of your Christmas or New Year's Eve. What am I talking about? I'm glad you decided to spend part of your New Year's Eve with us.
Well, and hopefully you spent Christmas Eve with us too.
Oh, that's true. We were on Christmas Eve a week ago, weren't we? Yeah. Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. Well, Buddy Brown has a new song that's come out. We're going to be listening to that in a little while.
After a very brief break.
Oh, it's time for a break? Oh, well, I didn't know whether you were hinting at me or just saying that out loud. President Brandon,
let me start off with two words. Made in America.
Thank you, Mr. President. What you didn't hear on the news media, okay, the major media, he shipped oil out of the country during the time that we're paying $3, $4 for gasoline, and in some cases over $5, never hit that as far as I know in Texas. But
It did in California.
By the way, did you know the CDC has issued a new mask mandate, Allison? Probably didn't know that. You should wear a mask over your eyes when you fill up at the gas station to prevent a heart attack. Anyway, he shipped oil out of the country during a time of extremely high gas prices. The reason he did that, his caretakers, want high gas prices so people will buy electric vehicles. Now, how most people can afford to buy a $55,000 or $65,000 or $70,000, whatever, they start around $55,000, electric vehicle, they don't care about it. Go in debt. In fact, they want you in debt so they can control you. They want you bankrupt. But that's why they did it. Make no mistake about it. They're on record saying that. We're ushering in a new era. We have some audios on that somewhere, but anyway. We're ushering in a new era. This is great. But Biden has said he wants to end fossil fuels, so his caretakers figure that's the best way to do it. Well, they got such blowback, they were afraid they're going to lose the election, so they brought prices down a little bit. But he shipped oil out of the country. Nearly 1 million barrels of oil he took out of our strategic petroleum reserve. which is only for national emergencies.
Emergencies.
Mm-hmm. Not for political emergencies like
right.
his.
Right.
What you don't know, probably, he shipped them out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to a Chinese firm, which is owned by the China's communist government. The firm is owned by the government, in which his son Hunter Biden's equity company holds a $1.7 billion stake.
Wow.
The company is called Unipec, the trading arm of Sinopec.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. The mainstream media is not given much coverage to this aspect of the story. But this is what he did. This is the corruption you find in the Brandon administration.
Well, that's disgusting.
Yeah, and you won't hear that on the major media. You won't hear it on
I mean, I knew he'd taken it out of the strategic reserves, but yeah. I thought it was being used here in this country.
Well, speaking of the Chinese communists, when we come back from our short, very short break, Chinese communists own one of the best-known U.S. brands. You probably have their product in your refrigerator right now. You'll find out what that is when we, Bill and Allison, come back.
The Hill Country Patriot.
Well, I'm going to miss this Christmas music.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
We're Bill and Allison.
We're running.
Every Saturday, 8 to 10.
Mm-hmm. And we're also at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com, mm-hmm. where you can listen to our past shows. You can download our shows and listen to them on your favorite device. 9:41 is our Hill Country Patriot time. And, you know, I'm talking about before the break, Joe Biden selling strategic petroleum reserve oil to a Chinese communist firm that his son's equity company owns $1.7 billion stake in that Chinese communist firm. If you haven't already, go to mysonhunter.com. mysonhunter.com.
That's a movie, isn't it?
.com. It's a new movie. It's a professional Hollywood-grade movie.
We need to watch it.
We do.
We haven't seen it
yet. We do. My Son Hunter. I haven't had a chance to watch any movies lately. Doing Harley's show every day.
A little bit busy.
Yeah, because we do a lot of preparation for the show and for Harley's show. So pretty much most of our time was taken up this week. But anyway, mysonhunter.com.
Is it online?
It's online. You can watch it online. It's a professionally produced with some very well-known Hollywood actors. They're conservatives.
So we can plug it into our TV? Plug computer into our TV to watch it?
Yeah, you can do people. Okay. Or if you've got a smart TV, which ours isn't smart enough, you know, that has internet connection, you can do it that way too.
Yeah, ours does not. We should get rid of it.
We should, you know, our 12-inch tube TV, I suppose it's time to turn that in. But anyway, mysonhunter.com is a movie, and it tells you exactly about the corruption of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Everything in that movie has been well documented. The discovery of the Hunter Biden laptop, and I think everybody knows what that is now, called the laptop from hell, was damning.
Damning.
Damning or damning?
Damning.
There's an N in it. This is English, Allison.
Okay, damn is pronounced damn, even though it has an N on the end.
Why?
I don't know. I didn't make the rules. So it's damning.
What's another word for thesaurus, by the way? why are there interstate highways in Alaska?
In Hawaii.
I mean, in Hawaii, not Alaska. Why are there interstate highways in and Alaska, too, mm-hmm. but true. Especially in Hawaii? Uh-huh. They go about 5 miles from one end of the island to the other. 9:43 is our Hill Country Patriot time, and I told you before the break that the Chinese communists own one of the best-known U.S. brands. You probably have their product in your refrigerator right now. We don't, because I'm very careful not to buy it. Smithfield Foods.
That is just such a disappointment. I mean, we used to live quite close to Smithfield.
In Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah. They have bought, they own Smithfield, the Smithfield brand, the mm-hmm. bacon, the ham. Sausages, the ham. So I won't buy it. I will absolutely, I'm not giving my money to communists.
Right.
You know, communist Chinese.
Right. And who knows what they're, how they're contaminating the food.
Well, think about it. Yeah. Think about it. We know that they contaminate dog food, mm-hmm. dog mm-hmm. treats. Mm-hmm. That's why I wouldn't buy any dog treats or dog food if it said made in China.
Mm-hmm.
We know how they've poisoned all sorts of things. So why wouldn't they be poisoning the Smithfield food? I don't know. I'm not going to say it, mm-hmm. that they are. But I'm suspicious.
It's possible.
I'm suspicious. Mm-hmm. Given, you know, they're not exactly models of good citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy Brown has a new song out that I thought you'd love. We love everything Buddy Brown does. So let's hear it, Allison.
What's going on, y'all? In honor of Coca-Cola, I have written a brand new song for you called Be Less White. That's right. The pamphlet that's going around Coca-Cola to all their employees right now, if you hadn't been paying attention, is how to be less white. All the reasons white people are bad. You know, at some point, I'm just like, damn. The hatred is real. Can you imagine if we released a pamphlet called Be Less Black? Can you imagine if Coca-Cola did that? What would happen? Y'all, I'm from Mississippi. I don't care who you are, what walk of life you come from. You come down here and have a beer with me anytime. But this is getting comical. It's getting ridiculous. At a certain point, I think in America, we just need to be less stupid. That's what we need to be. Hope y'all like this song. Be proud of who you are, no matter where you came from. In the meantime, we need to be less white. Coca-Cola's done lost their dadgum minds. Yeah, the white guilt's hitting pretty hard this time. I thought I'd seen it all, but as it turns out, I have to change my skin to live this one down. We gotta be less white, be less white. These liberals gone wild and they lost their minds. We gotta be less white, be less white. Now I'm switching to Pepsi and it's all alright. Said to be less white is to be less oppressive, be less certain and less defensive, be less arrogant, try to actually listen. Well, Coke ain't getting served in my kitchen. Be less white, hell, be less white. These liberals gone wild and they lost their minds. We gotta be less white, be less white. Now I'm switching to Pepsi and it's all alright. I got something for your little online training class. Take your little pamphlet and stick it right back up your ass. While I try to be less white, be less white. It's liberals gone wild and they lost their minds. We gotta be less white, be less white. Now I'm switching to Pepsi and it's all alright. God bless y'all. That might even end up being the new theme song over at Pepsi. I don't think the boys at Coca-Cola are going to like it much, but over at Pepsi, you can have it if you want it.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah, he makes a good point. Stop drinking Coke.
Yep.
Switch to Pepsi.
Yep, yep, yep. Whatever happened to RC Cola, Royal Crown Cola? Is that still around? That used to be an alternative.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, of course, we stopped drinking soft
drinks. We have.
And I don't know why. Just, well, health reasons, number one. You know, first you drank the sugary stuff, and then, oh, well, this is not good.
I haven't drunk the sugary stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, years ago you started, because there was no alternative. And then they brought in the diet stuff, and the diet stuff has aspartame, which is not a good thing. A lot of studies indicate it's cancer-causing. So I got off that. I started drinking stuff that was sweetened with stevia and that kind of stuff. Now I don't drink any of that stuff.
Mm-mm. I don't know.
I drink water, iced tea.
I drink a lot of orange juice.
You drink a lot of orange juice, but if I want something, I'll make some iced tea, you know, and put stevia in it. I like it sweetened, so I put stevia in it. So I don't, when I'm at a restaurant and they say, do you want, ask for iced tea, do you want sweet or unsweet? I always say unsweet, even though I like it sweet, because I don't know what sweetener they're putting in there. They're
probably
putting sugar. That'd be the cheapest thing.
I'm guessing sugar.
Well, I don't want a lot of sugar.
Right.
So I use Truvia, I think it's called Truvia,
mm-hmm.
and it's stevia basically, but it's a natural
product.
Yeah, but it's a natural product, but stevia can be bitter. But I don't find any bitterness with this stuff. Little green packets is what it is. Anyway, 9:49 is the Bill and Allison show. The new Old Farmer's Almanac has come out, and it's got their track record in predicting weather is unbelievable. They started in 1792, I think it is. Yes, 1792. Now, I don't think they actually have been predicting the right weather since 1792, but they have a proprietary method of predicting the weather more than a year in advance. How you do that, I have no idea.
Well, yeah, especially since forecasters.
Oh, the National Weather Service
here,
can't.
Yeah, they can't get it.
They can't get it
a week in advance.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever we're traveling, I always look at the weather for wherever we're going, and I look at it, you know, regularly, and then just right before we leave, I look at it to make sure I have the proper clothes packed for both of us. And what percentage of the time would you say I've packed wrong?
At least half.
Oh, yeah.
At least half.
Yeah, so you know, we're running down. Okay, I was wearing a funky sweatshirt, and I pointed it out to Bill, and I said, you know why I got this? It's because we were in Florida, and it was unusually cold, so I went down to Dollar General and got a sweatshirt. And what I was wearing was about all they had.
Yesterday, yeah. Yeah. Allison is very thrifty. I will compliment her. She does. You buy your clothes at Dollar General, as you said, Walmart, mm-hmm. You know, some of those kind of stores.
eBay.
eBay, you get real deals.
What I'm wearing right at this moment is a cashmere sweater, 100% cashmere, which is probably my favorite material, which is the one thing I like about winter, so I can wear cashmere. And a decent cashmere sweater is probably pretty close to $200 for most of them. And I have several. I got them from eBay, and I paid no more than $25, including shipping.
Wow, that's great. Although you are thrifty, and I compliment you for that. I appreciate that. She does shop at Dollar General for some of her clothes, but I'm trying to convince her to shop from the dumpster behind Dollar General. I haven't quite got her there.
And I know someone whose daughter does that.
Yeah, does dumpster diving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that. I think they've caught on now. You can't get in those places anymore. you know, their wall are chained
well,
off. Chained
well,
off
I mean, why do they care if people steal stuff from the dumpster?
That's right. That's a good point.
I mean, they're throwing it away.
Probably afraid you'll get injured or something and sue them, which, you know, people sue for all sorts of crazy reasons. We had an audio on our, we don't have it anymore, but tell them about the woman who's called 911 about the pork.
Oh, that's right. In North Carolina, a woman was at a barbecue joint, and she called 911. She said because her meat was pink, and the owner and the employees and also fellow customers were trying to explain to her how when meat is smoked, it turns pink. And she was demanding that they, you know, heat it, you know, cook it some more. And they said, well, even if we cook it more, it's going to stay pink because that's what barbecue, that's the way barbecue works. And owner of the store, which is in business, or the barbecue joint, has been in business since 1938. He was absolutely shocked when the cops showed up.
Well, I can't believe the cops would come out on a 911 call.
I know.
You know, calling 911 frivolously is a crime.
Yeah.
You know, so the cops came out. Wild. I mentioned the Old Farmer's Almanac. They've got an 80% accuracy rate over decades predicting the weather. Well, what they're saying for our area, which their region is for us, is Oklahoma City to the border of Texas and Mexico. So it's, but it divides it up north and south. It says winter will be colder than normal, with the coldest periods in early to mid-January and early to mid-February. Precipitation will be below average. And for particularly...
below average?
Precipitation will be below average. Yes.
I thought they said it was going to be above.
They did for January. For us, the temperature will be 7 degrees below average during January. Precipitation will be 1 inch above average just for January. 1 to 3 January, very cold and sunny. That's what they're predicting. So we'll see. If you think, oh, that's hogwash, if you prefer the National Weather Service over these amateurs at the Old Farmer's Almanac, remember they've got an 80% accuracy rate. And also remember, an amateur built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. just something to think about.
It's a very, very good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Well, we're wrapping up, are we not, Allison?
We are.
Yeah, we're almost out of time. The chorale at the University of Dublin, Ireland, is going to take us out with a beautiful rendition of "Auld Lang Syne," and. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. And we always end our program with that verse, and particularly in this new year, it's something to remember. You trust in Him with all your heart. You don't lean on your own interpretation or understanding of things. You acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He promises that He will direct your path. He will guide you, protect you, and guide your thoughts, words, and deeds. Happy New Year, Allison.
Happy New Year. And we're Bill and Allison, and we will hope you join us next year. Every Saturday. Every Saturday morning.
9:55.
8 to 10.
Oh, yes.
8 to 10.
That's right. My timing was a little off there, wasn't it? Yeah. Also at firstcoupleoftexasradio.com.
Uh-huh.
Happy New Year, Allison.
Happy New Year, Bill.